Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have Ann Kimmel from the Hockey News coming up at 7:30. Get her thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com joining the program from 8 to 9 o'clock. Probably more accurately, like 7:35 to 9 o'clock.
Is that him knocking on the door?
Could be.
He's like the elf on the shelf. He's also texting us on the text line.
He is. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Getting after you.
There's nothing wrong with double servicing, Paul.
We'll get his thoughts on that.
Extra
too.
Service.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Obviously, a lot of discussion in the aftermath of the Dolphins game is Will Levis and his performance in that game. We detailed that a lot yesterday on the program. And I agree with you. Like, obviously, I think the Titans have seen enough. I know that I've seen enough to commit to he's going to be the guy for next year and probably the year after that. Now, anything beyond that, I still think it's too early to really determine yet at this point. But Will Levis certainly has shown enough flashes where you can see the goods there and that there might be a future for him that could be really, really good. I mean, we'll wait and see if he could put it all together, but certainly some tools that are very encouraging on the Will Levis front. Having said that, I still think there's room for improvement from him that is going to be required if he's going to reach that point and get to be in one of those guys that you feel like you got a chance to win a Super Bowl with at some point if you're the Titans. So having said all that, based on what we've seen from him to this point, what we saw from him, and I think a great performance in the second half against Miami the other night, what do you still need to see from Will Levis in these final four games in the regular season here? What would you like to see as the Titans close out the season here from their starting quarterback?
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you like to see wins? Titans fans, would you like to see wins? You're not going to make the playoffs. I'll tell you that right now. So would you like to see some more wins? Seemed like people really enjoyed the win Monday.
I'm cool with some more wins.
Yeah. I mean, I think although win is not a QB stat, I think anytime you have a chance to win games, and especially if you have a chance as a quarterback to see a quarterback win a game with his own performance late, with a late drive, he had two of them on Monday, then I think that's definitely a good thing to bring into next year.
I just hope he doesn't overlook Davis Mills this weekend.
Well,
yeah, hard to do.
Exactly. That is a sprawling assignment. Try to beat that guy. What is Levis is 3-4. So Tannehill was 2-4.
Is
my math good? Tannehill was 2-4. Levis is 3-4.
Sounds right.
It's not a QB stat, but I think even though the draft, the positioning won't be kind if you win some games, I think if Levis. See, the thing is, this week would be a lot of fun. This week would be great because it's. And I guess I don't know for sure CJ Stroud's not playing. But usually, when you get into a situation like this, you have you get removed from a game, you're in protocol, you're probably missing the next game.
Probably so.
So this would be one of those real fun weeks to see Levis and Stroud go at it. They don't have the same teams. Stroud's team is better than Levis's team. But that would be fun. So Levis right now has seen – so he's had one encounter with all four AFC South teams have you know, their future guy for whatever, however long that is. It's at least for the next couple of years for all of them.
Yeah.
So he's 0-1 so far. Probably won't see the other one. He'll see something. He'll have to crane his neck to see the other guy on the other sideline. But you're going to get your wish to see Davis Mills play more football.
Oh, I love it. Can't wait for it. Now, you know, obviously, the Jacksonville game did not go well for the Titans. You lost that one. You know, Indy, you're playing Gardner Minshew, and Gardner Minshew is having a nice season for Indy. He's not the future at that position to the Colts. I think we all know that. So
maybe he's the Titans' future backup.
Well, could be. I mean, they could do a whole lot worse than Gardner Minshew as their backup quarterback. Look, I still think there are some throws that Levis is missing on occasion that if you're going to be a consistent high-level quarterback in this league, you can't miss on some of those throws. And how much of that has to do with the pressure that he's been facing, how much of that has to do with the lack of weapons that he has, I'm sure that factors into it. But he has missed some throws this year that I think he needs to make. So, you know, last four games, I'd like to see a little bit less of that. I mean, you're never going to think probably completely weed that out of your game, but I'd like to see a little bit less of that. I do think he's been pretty lucky, actually, when it comes to the interception part of this. Like, he's probably deserved to throw, I don't know, three or four more picks than he actually has, at least. Maybe even more than that. So, I do think the numbers tell you that he's taking pretty good care of the football. I do think there's room for improvement there because he's had a few interceptions that were just dropped by the other team. So, I think some of the decision-making could get a little bit better from Will Levis as they move forward here. All in all, like I said yesterday, I'm pretty happy with what I've seen from him. If you're a Titans fan, I think you have to be thrilled with the way that things went down on Monday night and the moxie that he showed and the poise that he showed in big moments and the ability to make some of those plays. It's been a lot of good from Will Levis, but there are some decision-making and ball security issues that I'd like to see him clean up the last four games here.
Yeah, actually, Zach, since I hooked you up with the explanation there, how about give me the analytics? I know there's something out there on like throws in harm's way. There's something. So where's that with Levis?
And there's no question he's had a few dropped in terms of interceptions.
Yes, he has. Yeah, there's like high. And that's not high danger throws, but I've seen that stat out there. Again, mentioned this the other day. Mentioned it yesterday, you know, the pressure he – and I don't know where it stands after the last game, although if the PFF numbers match up with the next-gen stats numbers
– they've gotten worse.
Yeah. The pressure rate is, like, historic for him, okay? So you got to keep that in mind too. But, yeah, you know, no doubt. Here and there, he'll let one rip that's like – and this is, you know, kind of what happened. And kind of one of the – knocks on him coming out of Kentucky. There's just a few throws in there, like, it's a little bit too risky. You know, when you look, there was a Chig, I think it was Chig completion the other night and one to Hopkins too, where it's like, first of all, you have to make throws like that. You have to make tight window throws like that where it's like, wait, he's not open. But yep, the ball's exactly in the right spot, and he was open because he caught the ball. But those also are, to me, a little bit dangerous. I mean, you'd rather see that than I think what did afflict Mariota, your favorite quarterback at times, which was, you know, not willing to go into those tight windows at times and not throwing people open enough and things like that.
Agreed. Well, and to that point, like Levis, I talked about, you know, maybe being a little bit dangerous with the ball placement sometimes. There's also been some tight window throws that he's made that have just been right on the money that have been really impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of like the risk reward when you've got a quarterback that has the arm he has. I mean, every now and then you're going to throw some interceptions that look pretty bad, but you're also going to fit some footballs into some tight windows that not very many other quarterbacks in the league can do and make big plays that way. And he's done that.
Yes. And I think, you know, the confidence in his arm, which he should very much have, is going to give you some throws and completions that some quarterbacks can't make, and at times going to end up with the ball in the other team's hands. I mean, that's probably – there's maybe a little Brett Favre comparison. We're going to make that. I still don't really see Brett Favre a lot.
They're different.
But that was definitely a Favre thing. I mean, his arm was
– outrageous.
Yeah. And so he would just try at times to do things, and I'd love it when he'd throw picks.
Cole from Nashville on the text line says, "This next game is important not to be overlooked. It might be a stretch, but I think the Titans have a chance against the Texans. A tall task ahead." This is from Cole from Nashville.
Well done, Cole.
God bless Davis Mills. I'm so happy that he might play this week. I mean, I don't wish ill will to C.J. Stroud or anything, and it would be fun to see Stroud and Levis, but I've missed my guy Davis Mills and the neck jokes that come with it.
Yeah, but, you know, we can still make the neck jokes and then not have to watch him play and instead get to watch C.J. Stroud play. So there's not one bit of happiness. There's not one bit of happiness.
Think about you, like, if you're a defensive player on the sideline and Davis Mills has been standing over there all year and you're trying to, like, look over him to see what's going on the field, you won't have that problem on Sunday.
That is true. They can actually watch the game. So good for them.
More on Will Levis coming up next, 615-737-1025. What would you like to see from Will Levis over the final four games of the regular season? More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July 20th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller 5 will win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Def Leppard, Journey, and the Steve Miller Band coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 20th. You can find Rex Road tailgating in the parking lot for that concert as well. It'll be fun.
Possibly, yes. But they got to play Def Leppard, play stuff from your first four albums. And nothing after that.
They're not like trying to make new music, are they?
Well, I wouldn't think so. But even, I don't even want anything after Hysteria, okay? Pyromania, Hysteria, focus on those.
615-737-1025. Discussing Will Levis and what we'd like to see from him as they move forward here in the last four games of the regular season. We've talked about, you know, some of the decisions that he's made, some of the dropped interceptions that he's had. Honestly, though, Joe, overall, I think for the most part, given the situation around him, he's been pretty good. I mean, he's had the indie game. Was it the indie game where he was less than 50% completion? Like, obviously, when you're especially in today's NFL, with passing being what it is and the rules catered that way, like anytime your quarterback is less than 50% with completions, it's not good. You don't want to see that moving forward here. But I think for the most part, you have to be pretty pleased, given the entire equation, by what you've seen from Will Levis to this point. If you're Mike Vrabel, if you're the Titans, and you know Vrabel was kind of gushing yesterday about his competitiveness and the toughness and all those things, and you know, all that I think checks out with Will Levis. I got to say, like, I'm overall pretty impressed by what I've seen from him to this point. We talked about it yesterday. I was not a huge fan of the draft pick, and I'm still not totally convinced that he's going to be like the franchise guy that can win you a Super Bowl. So we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But he has played much better than I thought he would to this point in his career.
Well, it's good to finally hear you admit you were wrong.
Well, it happens
first
on occasion.
On the show?
Rarely?
Yeah. No, you're usually not wrong. That's the thing. So, yeah, I agree. I've been impressed with him, and it's overall very good. This is one of those moments. If he does turn out to be that guy, Monday will be one of those moments that will absolutely be looked back on. Like, had Mariota been that guy, then you'd think of the first game, of course, but also like the game at New Orleans when he was a rookie, which is a mostly really rough rookie season and rough for the team. And I don't know. What else for Mariota? Second year, he had a lot of good performances. They crushed your Packers. Remember that day? Just destroyed your Packers.
He did.
He lit them up, man. That's probably why
you hate
him.
Packers won like 10 in a row after that. But yeah.
Well, there you go. So you should thank him for that. Zach does come through with some data here. PFF, so I don't know why. I just have again, PFF, they do some things that I think make sense and are good. The immediate post-game grades, I will never not make fun of. But according to PFF, 3.8% turnover-worthy play rate for his career. So I assume that is passing plays. So that's 24th among quarterbacks with at least 240 dropbacks. The range of that is 1.5% is the lowest. He doesn't say who. And the highest is 5.8%. So he's right in the middle there.
Yep.
But 24th, that's good. You want to be there. And then he is 6th on the big-time throw rate with 5.9% of his throws. Big-time throws.
Fancy stats.
That's 6, yes. But that's – I mean, he has made – a few that are like, again, a couple the other night were like, whew, you are sneaking that one in
there. Oh, yeah.
And it's got to be right where you put it. And that's, to me, and, you know, he's throwing a couple deep balls that are really nice. I mean, I think the throw to Hopkins was a heck of a throw.
Yeah, great throw.
I mean, I think that one might qualify as a big-time throw. But, Zach, let me know.
Oh, he's made some, you know, even back to, I think about the Pittsburgh game on Thursday night when they're backed up deep in their own territory. And he just throws an absolute seed to Hopkins cutting over the middle there. I mean, he's made some huge throws this year. And that's not even going back to the first start he had of the cross-the-body 55-yard over-the-shoulder to NWI.
That's got to be part of the big-time throw collection.
I would assume that that's part of the big-time throw collection. I mean, there's no question he's got that ability. And that's – those – you go back to things you either have or you don't. Like, not everybody has – that type of arm, and that's what makes him exciting moving forward, because he's got the arm strength. It also looks like he's got kind of the mental makeup that you're looking for, the leadership part of it. I mean, like I said, when you go through it, there's a lot of boxes that he checks so far in his career. And, you know, you don't want to anoint a guy too early, and I still think we're, you know, part of being a great quarterback is doing it over a sustained period of time, right? I mean, we've seen plenty of guys come into the league and they look great for a year or maybe 2 years and then they fade. Part of being a great quarterback is being consistent, being available, and being productive year after year after year. So in some ways, evaluating a quarterback, it should take some time. Like, it should take you some time to see, all right, can he do it again? Like, can he do this on a consistent basis? But the early returns look good for Will Levis.
Yeah, how many quarterbacks have been great early and then leveled off and faded? I mean, the biggest example, of course, is to me, is local. I mean, Vince Young, like a rookie of the year.
RG3?
I thought Vince Young would be great. RG3 is a good one. Yep. RG3,
some of that's injury related.
Has to be the knee, yep, a big part of it. But, yeah, man, you know, Cousins, such a weird draft for them. They draft RG3 like number 3 overall, and they take Cousins in the 4th round, and pretty soon it's like Cousins is better than him. Oh, sorry.
Matt Flynn looked great for one game and turned that into a pretty good contract with the Seahawks, and then immediately got replaced by Russell Wilson.
That was one game against the Lions, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Good time.
For like 500 yards.
But like a hopeful franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, RG3 probably is as good an example as there is. There aren't too many that I can think of. But there are definitely examples of quarterbacks who looked bad or not ready early and then eventually got there, you know? And I think your guy Jordan Love is, even though he wasn't great against, you know, he got outdueled by Tommy DeVito.
He did. Who doesn't nowadays?
Dominating the NFL network coverage today. But still, I think he's a good example of that time being a positive thing. But I think this year Levis being forced into this action is nothing but good for him and the Titans. You know, now I say that if he gets hurt between now and the end of the season, well, then that's a different deal. But at this point, I mean, they've accelerated the process, and they've identified their guy. That's huge.
Real quickly, what do you make of this one? Doug in Nashville says, fans seem to be upset that Vrabel didn't praise Levis more after his first start.
Oh, my God.
And then just listen to the question.
I can't do it.
Listen to the question.
All right.
And then head coach Kevin O'Connell and much of the media were so quick to crown Josh Dobbs. Dobbs gets benched for Nick Mullins after 4 starts. Do we feel Vrabel handled that part with Levis well so far? What do you think of that from Doug in Nashville?
Okay.
See, that didn't go the way you thought it was going to go.
It didn't go the way I thought it, because there's something there. Like, there's another Titans Twitter flare up because Vrabel didn't say, and Will Levis in this post game speech, and our guy Will Levis, come on. He said something about the punter, so people are mad.
Well, we did see him greet each individual member of the Titans on the broadcast on ESPN yesterday. They had a different clip of different players walking off the field every time they went to commercial break.
Yeah, yeah. And Tannehill,
Levis was one of them.
Levis,
Tannehill, was in there.
All of them. I don't have a thought either way on that. You know, I really don't. It's people who overreacted. That's what they did. They just overreacted. It was all dumb to me.
Vrabel just didn't want to crown him too quick.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Vrabel
will get in the locker room. We're not even going to discuss the 4 touchdown performance you just had. Right. Get in the locker room.
Hey, what's your name again? Yeah, number 8. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, hurry up, shower up, let's go. I don't know. I just wouldn't have. I guess it's like I wouldn't have expected Vrabel to do anything different there at all.
No, I wouldn't either.
The weird thing would have been hearing Vrabel say, my God, that Will Levis. I need to give him, go give him another hug, guys.
The answer.
I need to stop the presser so I can go hug him again.
Can you believe it? He should have been playing the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bad coaching on our part.
Like
that's what he should have said.
Like it's like people who've been watching Vrabel all these years, and then you're surprised when he doesn't act like himself that you've seen for years.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ann Kimmel from the Hockey News. We'll get her thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Another win for them last night. They've won 11 out of 14. They have got themselves, for the moment, entrenched in a playoff spot in the Western Conference, maybe somewhat surprisingly. We'll get into that more with Ann coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Another win for the Preds last night. They've won 11 out of 14, 5 out of 6, and they are comfortably right now, for the moment, in a playoff spot. And that's a heck of a stretch after they were 5 and 10 to begin the season. So they've been on quite the run here as of late. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ann Kimmel of the Hockey News, InsideThePreds.com, co-host of the Locked On Predators podcast. Ann, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
Doing awesome. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Ann, as you've watched this team over the last couple of weeks, I just rolled it off, 11 out of 14 they've won. What has stood out to you about the way they've played and the way that they've been able to win these games?
I think so much of the key to their success they've had recently is you see a team that's getting much more comfortable playing Andrew Brunette's system. And you can't underestimate as they come in and they switch coaches, they switch systems. I think, obviously, you're learning some new systems, but you can't underestimate how much work it takes to unlearn the old system and kind of unlearn those natural habits that some of these players fall into after playing under John Hines, some of them playing under Peter Laviolette, under a different system. So for me, I see a team that's getting much more comfortable, that's sort of getting into their bones what the automatic responses are that they need to make on the ice. I also think you're seeing a team that's really gelling together. So I think there's a lot of good things happening, and they're getting the results over this last stretch.
What about UC Saros? And because as we know, I mean, he starts slow. I think right before or somewhere in the middle of this hot streak, you know, the numbers weren't good. They've been phenomenal lately. Does he just look different to you the last few games?
I think you can tell a difference just straight eye test with UC Saros. As the team made some adjustments to this new system, you can't just sit back and say, hey, the goaltender's job is still just keep pucks out of the net. There's a huge adjustment for Saros and Lankinen as well. I've always said UC Saros is a crock pot. He's not a microwave. This is a guy who's going to take some time to warm up, but you know when he gets warmed up, the end product is going to be phenomenal. And you're seeing Saros hit his stride. You're seeing him more comfortable reading the game that's being played in front of him. And his responses, I think, are much more automatic. We were talking with Andrew Brunette last night after the game, and he says, you know, you can see that Saros is really dialed in. You know, he's got 5 wins in a row. He's won 9 of his last 10. Save percentage over this last 5-game stretch is a 919. You're seeing Saros heating up.
No question about that. Philip Forsberg, and we've seen play a lot of hockey over the years, and he's always been, you know, obviously a really good player. When he's been able to stay healthy, he's been very productive for the Predators. He's doing it at a different level so far this year. He's on pace for right around 100 points, and another game winner for him last night, 18 seconds into overtime. How much of this is the new system with Andrew Brunette? How much of this is Philip Forsberg elevating his game to a different level? What are you seeing from number 9 right now?
I think this is probably the best we've seen out of Philip Forsberg, and we've seen some good seasons from Philip Forsberg. I do think the system has a lot to do with it. It plays to his strengths. I think this is somebody who likes a fast game. This is somebody who likes a lot of offense. So that really plays into a lot of Forsberg's strengths. I also think it really matters who he's playing with. You've got Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist playing on that top line with Philip Forsberg. That has been one of the top lines in the NHL so far this season in a lot of metrics. And I think that matters as well. I think when you get with, you know, Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist, that's automatically going to help Philip Forsberg bring out even more of what he's already good at. So I think it's really been a perfect combination for Forsberg, and he's getting the results now.
So just this team right now, and in terms of just where it is, how it's playing, and the outlook from here, how does that compare to what you thought we would see a couple months ago?
Barry Trotz was really smart when he laid out this season. I think he did a great job of building excitement around a youth movement and around some of these veteran signings that he made in the offseason. But he also set some expectations where, look, the fan base is going to see some exciting hockey. You're going to get to see some young players develop. You're going to get to see some veteran talent on the ice. But it's a reset. You know, we heard the magic word reset a lot. This team and what they've been able to do, and I would even go back and say, even in the beginning of the season where they kind of struggled to close out games to get the wins, you saw this team doing things well and not getting results. This team has really exceeded expectations. Now, I'm not here saying that they're going to make a deep cup run this season, but I think it's very easy to say this team has done more than what probably fans expected. And you kind of start to dream a little bit as you watch this team win some of these games.
Well, they've had the best record in the league over the last 15 games or so, and that's certainly, you know, with the way they started, you know, kind of out of nowhere from that regard. And part of that that's been interesting to watch, Ann, has been the defense core. I mean, there's the Tyson Barrie situation that's going on, and he was a scratch again last night. But Luke Shen has come back in there. We've seen Spencer Stastny come in and play really well as a young player. They got a lot of guys right now on defense and only six spots to play them on most nights. So it's going to be interesting to see how that part of it shakes itself out as the season goes on here. What do you think specifically of Stastny? So he's back down in Milwaukee. I don't think he's going to be there very long. I think he'll be back up here shortly based on the way that he's played. It feels to me like he's ready, to be a full-time NHL player. Would you agree with that? And how do you think Brunette handles the lineup with defensemen if that's the case and they bring him back up?
I think Stastny's an NHL player. You know, we saw him a little bit at the end of last season. I think those, you know, 5-8 games that he played at the end of last season really helped kind of get him used to the pace, came back up, and really was a seamless fit into the NHL game and into the defense. He's an NHL player. But again, like you said, this is a roster where you have a lot of defensemen. So it's going to be interesting to see how Brunette sorts this out. It's a great problem to have because the way this is going to be solved is straight competition. And the best players are going to get the ice time. And you've also seen Brunette come up with some different defensive pairing combinations that have been successful. So there's wiggle room in that. You know, you've seen McDonough play really well with Roman Josi and with Alexander Carrier. You've seen Josi play well with Dante Fabro. So there's a lot of options on defense. A lot will be affected by how this Tyson Barrie situation plays out. But I'm with you. I don't think Stastny is going to stay in Milwaukee for long. I think the Nashville Predators are going to want to get him back up here and get him in the lineup.
And obviously a lot of focus on Luke Evangelista coming into this season. He's been solid. He's got 14 points in 28 games. What have you thought of him so far? What do you think the trajectory is for Luke Evangelista?
Very positive. You know, Luke is a young player with a lot of confidence. Luke Evangelista walks and skates with confidence, my friends. And you love to see that in a young player. He did have a period of time where Andrew Brunette kind of just sat in for the game against the Colorado Avalanche there for a bit, just to kind of give him a reset. And I think it was helpful for Evangelista. I think at the beginning of the season, he tended to get kind of hung up on production and results. And when you have that reset and you can kind of refocus on, hey, it's about the process, this is where you're going to see Evangelista lose some of the weight of that and really be successful. Excited to get he and Novak and Sherwood back together again more consistently. I think that's a line that really reads each other well. They complement each other well. That was one of the Predators' most successful lines for a long stretch there. So getting Novak back healthy, I think that's only going to benefit Evangelista this season too.
Well, Ann, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ann Kimmel, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad of the Hockey News, does a great job covering the Nashville Predators. Paul Kuharsky, from PaulKuharski.com has entered the studio. And we've got the Rex rant coming up next. I can already feel the nervous energy.
How nervous are you?
Coming away from Joe Rex.
Do we have him on camera right now?
I don't know.
Dude, he looks exactly like Steve Buscemi in that, "Hello, fellow kids." Look at him.
Steve Buscemi is a very handsome man.
I
dress to the temperature. If you're going to make it an icebox in here, and I know you guys don't have control of the temperature because you're powerless drones.
I am.
But, you know, you gotta adjust it.
Where's your skateboard? Where's your trapper keeper?
All I have is a hood on my head.
I sent some deflecting.
Come on, I mean, look at this.
I mean, with a hood on my head, I'm a skateboarder.
I'd sent some deflecting over here because here we are again, 7:45. The rant's coming up, and he's nervous.
I'm happy. I'm excited for my rant.
Last time I was on a skateboard was the first day of the COVID shutdown. Well, it wasn't a skateboard. It was a hoverboard. I tried to jump off a hoverboard that I never should have get on.
Oh, boy.
Got on, and I fell so dramatically onto my back. And there were two women walking across the street, and they wanted so badly to come and aid me, but it was the first day of the COVID shutdown.
We must stay away.
And they couldn't. My wife was on a meeting upstairs, unavailable to come help me. My son was helpless, and I thought I might have broken my back. It was a very eventful first day of the COVID.
First day of the COVID shutdown. Yeah. World's going
and
to crap.
And the lesson is, old men should not get on hoverboards.
Kuharski decides, you know what? The world's collapsing around me. Let's hop
on
the hoverboard.
Yeah. What I need to do is pretend that I'm 25 instead of 48 or whatever I was at the time. It was miserable. Just talking about it makes my lower back ache, which I've got problems with again anyway.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know, obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! We'll get ready to play Tennessee. We're incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. That's one of the all-time good rants there from Bruce Pearl. Missed that one.
That's a great one. And very fitting because we're going to talk some college basketball, everybody.
Let's get excited.
Let's talk some college basketball.
He knows the wheelhouse.
This is very simple. Tennessee, Rick Barnes can win a national championship this season. And I'm here to tell you right now. I'm here to tell you right now that they can do it. And I'm here to point my finger at Robbie and all the other Vols fans who won't just enjoy the ride. In fact, I'm going to read from my column in The Athletic. I'm going to read from it.
Plagiarizing himself.
Is that what I'm doing? Is this more like double servicing, you know?
Yeah. Double servicing.
A couple times a day.
Self-service. Quote, "All consumed meals go through the digestion process and become indistinguishable from one another, but that does not mean the plate in front of you with filet mignon, lobster, and roasted Brussels sprouts is the same as a plate of chicken fingers."
That's why he's a writer.
Continuing to quote myself. "Enjoy the heck out of the filet, lobster, and Brussels sprouts. If you happen to know how a great movie concludes but you haven't seen it, see the movie. We all know how our lives are going to end, Paul. So should we just curl up in a ball because we know we're going to die, or should we live our lives? This is what I ask you." I changed the words.
I would have said we all know that our lives are going to end.
We don't know how.
Yeah. I don't know how my life's
going to
end.
But you know you're going to die. I know you'll die. Okay?
Sounds wishful. Very wishful.
I know you will. It will happen. You will die, sir. But you should live your lives. The point being, this is my metaphor for Tennessee basketball.
Okay.
Every time they lose a game, they've lost three games. They've played the best schedule in college basketball. The only teams with better strength of schedule than the Vols are like Florida A&M and teams that are just paying bills by going to get destroyed. They are of Power 5 teams, they have the best schedule. They've lost three games. Number one, Purdue. Number two, Kansas, or whatever. Number one, Kansas. Number two, Purdue. and then North Carolina on the road. Every time they lose or have a bad stretch, Rick Barnes, Barnes March, blah, blah. Shut up. This team is good enough to win a national championship. I promise you. I won't promise you they will. I can't promise you they're going to be the first Tennessee team to ever make a Final Four or the second Rick Barnes team to make a Final Four. But they are good enough. They are good enough. Every number tells us this. They are.
Except, yep. You know, the results that we've seen so far.
You don't know. Wait, what?
Except, you know, losing every time they played some of these good teams.
Well, that's not true. They won.
Illinois is not the same. Michigan State is not good. It was a preseason game.
Right. At Wisconsin's a very good win. Okay. That was on the road.
Wisconsin is not a national title contender. But continue.
Illinois is a very good team, a very talented team, a team that's their top 15 talent. But regardless, yes, they lost a close game to Purdue. They lost a close game to Kansas. They had a terrible half against North Carolina, fought back. Zakai Ziegler's coming off an ACL. He's going to get better. Santiago Vescovi lost his grandmother, went back to Uruguay, has been in Rick Barnes' doghouse. We all know who he is. He's not a star player. He's not the player you want to carry your team, but he doesn't have to because Dalton Connect, who is probably the greatest portal ad in Tennessee sports history, right?
Long history of portal ads.
Well, right. I mean, it's like 3 years or whatever, but like, what's the better portal ad for Tennessee?
Hendon Hooker.
Well, yeah, but is that, I guess.
And down goes the ring.
No, but was the portal, seriously,
took a
though,
little while.
Did the
least.
Portal exist?
You made it
then?
3 minutes.
Did the portal
I mean, he
exist?
He transferred
then?
And didn't have to sit out
he's
of here.
He's a transfer. Know. Yeah. Okay, fine. The second right. best portal.
Now a word from our
Tennessee
sponsor.
Tennessee history. But what if Dalton Connect wins a national championship for Tennessee? Then I put him ahead of Hendon Hooker. He's going to be a first-round pick. Hendon Hooker was a third-round pick. I'm just saying.
If he does that, then you can put him ahead of Hendon Hooker.
Thank you. Good point on Hendon Hooker.
Thank you.
Look, the point being, I mean, that thought just came to my mind, and that's why you should just.
No, it didn't come to your mind. It came to Robbie's mind.
But he's the best portal ad ever in the history of Tennessee sports.
What about Hendon Hooker? Oh, he's the second best.
He's top five. I'm very confident in saying he's top five. The point being, Tennessee fans, I want you to enjoy this team. I want you to enjoy your plate of filet and lobster and your life.
You keep adding Brussels sprouts, by the way. A lot of people don't like Brussels sprouts.
Yes. I don't care. Brussels sprouts are amazing, and it's my column, and I'm going to say whatever I want. So, too bad. How do you not like Brussels sprouts? Like roasted
I like
in
them.
The oven?
I like them, but a lot of people don't.
There are
I
mean, many people who don't.
Some people are vegetarians and are nauseous because I just talked about filet and lobster.
That's a smaller percentage.
Oh, okay. So those people don't count.
Play the percentage.
The people who ate the Brussels sprouts, those are the ones that you're worried about.
Saying, like talking college basketball.
A delicious meal, you should list play the that most people like.
Anyway. I just want y'all to enjoy it because I really
I now it's really playing to those people.
Yeah. This program wants y'all to enjoy it. All right. They're good,
cue
man.
Cue that hillbilly Rocky Top again.
Hey, Rocky Top's a great song.
They're a really good team. Stopping me from making my point. They are a legitimate excellent team.
He's thinking,
and I want people.
He's thinking
to
himself right.
It's a great time.
Hendon Hooker. How can I forget Hendon Hooker?
This is a perfect lead in to a tribute to Frank Wojciech.
Yeah, it really is. Just beautiful.
All right, I'm done. My point has been taken. I hope people out there heard my
He's
point.
He's never going to rant at 7:45 on Wednesdays again.
Then fine. On Wednesdays, we'll just let PK
shuffle
have the
show.
Let PK have the rant every Wednesday. That's fine.
You open on Wednesday at 6 o'clock with the Rex rant.
Yeah, I got things to say.
A lot of space.
Before Gorski gets here.
Pre-recorded. Yeah, we'll pre-record
then
it
Then I'll come
Tuesday
in
night.
Earlier. I'll get Nick to play it for me so that I can shred it.
Pick it apart. Yeah.
You don't think it's a little bit fair, though, that you look at Rick Barnes' record in the NCAA tournament and a constant history of underachieving and think to yourself, maybe it's too early to start crowning them national championship contenders.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not crowning them. No one should crown them. I mean, there's, you know, there are about probably 6-7 teams that are good enough to win it. By the way, there's a historical marker here, which is since 2004, in the sixth poll, okay, the sixth Associated Press poll of the year, the top 12, every single national championship champion since 2004 has been in the top 12 of the sixth AP poll. Now, that's a heck of a stat, and good on whoever, you know, started tracking that. But the Vols, interestingly enough, jumped five spots last week to get to number 12. But yeah, they're, you know, I look at them and I think, like, I think that they have a higher ceiling than North Carolina. You know, I think that I think they're right there. I think Arizona's the best team that I've seen this year. And so, like, right now, Arizona, Tennessee on a neutral floor, I'd pick Arizona. But Vescovy, Ziegler, they're going to keep getting better. And they have less on their plates. That's the thing. Those guys, Josiah James, they all have less pressure on them because they have a dude who's just a bucket getter who can – and I compare him to Grant Williams. And, yep, they didn't win it. They could have. I compare him a little bit to Kenny Chandler because he was the difference maker 2 years ago, and the reason I thought that team was a Final Four team. Well, those other guys didn't hit a single freaking shot when Michigan zoned him and kept him out of the lane, and so they lost. Some of these guys are going to have to hit a couple big shots because Dalton Connect is going to get doubled or whatever, zoned. Like, other teams are going to do something. But he takes pressure off everybody, and he's special. He really is, and this team could be too.
The second greatest portal ad in Tennessee
That's
history.
That's right. The greatest basketball portal ad. Is
go.
That right?
There you go.
Yeah. Let's say that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, Paul Karski will be with us for the next hour. We'll get into the life and legacy of the great Frank Wycheck. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' performance on Monday Night Football against the Dolphins as well. All that coming up. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.